Hi there, welcome to Talk Canicross. I'm Janetta George.
And I'm Gail Walker. We're here today to talk all things Canicross, the fun way to get fit with your dog.
So each month we'll be joined by a special guest or two. We'll hear from professionals, regular Canicrossers, and also dog and human experts in their field. It will be real people and real stories.
So we hope you'll join us, whether it's for training tips, dog talk, or just for fun and encouragement. This is Talk Canicross, brought to you by DogFit. And don't forget to hit subscribe and keep in touch with all things Canicross. Back in October 2020, Janetta and I launched our first ever podcast series. We kicked off with our episode Questions, Fun and Fears that involved a really fun and interesting conversation with Carolyn and Kelly, two complete newbies to Canicross. We chatted about those first steps to getting started and then gaining confidence on the trails. Carolyn had just completed the DogFit Couch 5K programme with her Vizsla Ted, and she shared her experiences with us and told us how, as a non-runner, she'd completely fallen in love with Canicross. For anyone new to the sport, we highly recommend you take a listen to it, as it's as relevant today as it was back then. Well, I'm really, really pleased that we have Carolyn with us today, and we're so excited to find out what she and Ted have been up to since we last caught up with her. So first of all, hi Carolyn, it's so wonderful to see you.
Hi Gail, it's really nice to be here actually. I'm very excited to tell you where I am and what's been happening, but you ask whatever questions you like.
We're so pleased to have you on the show. When we spoke to you for the last podcast, you and Ted had just completed our Couch to 5K programme. So fast forward 18 months, what sort of distances do you two run today? How did you build up your distance and frequency? And yeah, what are you up to?
Oh my goodness, right. Well, the very first thing I'm going to do, and I know we're recording this, but I just want to give this a bit of shape. I know I haven't taken up bell cow ringing, by the way, in case that's what you're going to be us listening think it is. But those are the medals that I've won over the last year, or I've achieved in the last year, because it has gone from strength to strength. I love it, and I still love it. So, yeah, right, it's 18 months ago, wasn't it, when I sort of spoke to you guys, or about that time, I can't remember, and I think Ted was probably just over a year, 14 months when we started. And I did the Couch to 5K and then just carried on, joined a group, joined one of the groups with DogFit and carried on running with one of the trainers there. And it's just gone from strength to strength. So we have run 5K, we've done 10K, and then it's kind of grown. So one of the ones that I did with Ted is I did the Gower Half Marathon in Wales, which was epic. It was muddy, I'm not going to lie. It was pure mud. And if ever there's a time, and any of you Canicrossers are out there will know, my goodness, do you want your dog pulling you up a hill? And he was amazing. And so I did that. And I actually did the London Marathon. Can you believe it? At the age of 59, I did the London Marathon. So I don't know, I could keep spilling over with excitement and enthusiasm because it has truly, truly changed my life. And I'm not just saying that, you know, because obviously I love my dog and I'm excited about it, but it has changed my life totally.
So you said about doing the Gower half marathon.
Yeah.
So you tell us about how you built up for that. And, you know, also you mentioned the marathon. So I presume you did some of your training even for the marathon with Ted off-road.
Yeah, I did. I know that sounded a bit dramatic there earlier on, saying I suddenly did the half gal, then the marathon. It was like, it's all, you know, I went to bed one morning, woke up and ran the marathon the next. That wasn't that case at all. You know, my life has really changed quite dramatically with Ted. So we did the 5K and then I just ran every single week. And if I could during the week as well. And, you know, with the Canicross group, I would extend the time. And as I sort of got towards the Gower, which was, you know, the half marathon, I can't really remember my program completely, Gail, but I definitely had a program and we would be adding on and everything else. And I would call and speak to a friend while I was running and say, OK, I'm still, I need someone to talk to, because it's the time on your legs, really, when you're trying to build up your running. But for my dog, it was like a walk in the park. You know, for them, it's just, they're so happy to be out with you. Ted didn't really need a running program. Or I did as a human, I needed that program. And when I came to do the marathon, and obviously I didn't do that with Ted, I would have loved to have done that with Ted. I actually built the program up and, you know, get out there, just time on the legs and literally building up week by week, adding on another mile, adding on that way, and kept going. So yeah, I hope that kind of answers the question a bit. But it's, yeah, you just have to be regular. But it's not like a PT thing where you feel like you're having to do it. I wanted to do it. And there's a real difference there. And I think that's quite key.
So for our listeners who don't know Ted and maybe haven't listened to the first podcast, he's a Hungarian Vizsla, isn't he? And he's your first dog. And he's a lovely boy. And I know that you waited until he was 14 months before you started Canicross and went through our programme. So you mentioned that you've been like running with a group. What's that brought for you and that whole kind of social side? And obviously, I know it was with one of the DogFit trainers. So what did that kind of teach you along the way? So you went to 5K. So from what was your journey from there?
Okay, so you're right. I waited till he was the right age before I started running with him, because I know with dogs you've got to... I mean, I'm not a great dog. I'm obviously, I love dogs, but I don't know enough about the dog physiology, really. But I knew that you had to wait until their bones or the platelets were at the right before you started. So I followed all the directions with that. And we did the 5K, but running with the group has helped me develop knowing Ted and how to direct him, really, because you when you're running and they run in a pack, which, because I were a few times, I'm not going to lie, he obviously thought it was a great big jolly out there and he'd be bouncing around beside me trying to eat the actual bungee. And, you know, I would be at one point in front and Ted would be behind. And I'm thinking, this is not how it's supposed to work. So being in the pack and in the group, that really encouraged him to actually go as a group. And I did that to start with, because if I went out on my own, it didn't work. So he had to be taught as well, and also for the instructions. But I had to learn how to teach him, because dogs run, that's their natural thing. But as a human and as their owner, he doesn't speak human. I've got to sort of be able to guide him and tell him. So I had to really, really learn. So when we got up to, you know, the corners, and I had to learn to say left, left, and I can't believe it, but he will turn left, and right, right. And that's my command to him. But the key one was actually to say with me, because going down hills, dogs do not have that kind of switch off thing where you think they're going to automatically slow down. They bomb it down the hill. And if you're attached, I've had a few trips and falls, I'll tell you that. So I had to bring him beside me and I had to really command him to keep looking at me and saying with me. But listen, you have your people out there listening, we're not perfect. It's still learning all the way, but that's kind of coming on bit by bit, which is great.
It's really funny you should say that, actually, because I was listening back at our very first podcast when we first spoke to you, and you actually described yourself as not being built for running, and that really made me laugh. And you said Ted was an energetic Hungarian Vizsla who takes no prisoners. But it sounds like you've gone from that situation and you've actually trained him and worked on the commands, because I was going to ask you how that was now, but it does sound like it's a very different response.
It really is. I mean, he, you know, they are the best PT you'll ever get, because they'll just constantly show you love, and, you know, they're just so excited and everything else. But as I said to you a moment ago, I had to learn how to deal with him, but how to control him and how to guide him, really. And, you know, at the beginning, it's I wasn't built for running. And I would say to you, you know, I'm 59, I'm 60 this year. I would never have thought what I've achieved in the last year ever. And that's quite an emotional thing for me, because I've always been overweight. I fall in that category where I'm afraid I'm a child of the 60s, and all that kind of psychological stuff you get with food and eating and all that. It's very different now, I think. I could be wrong, but anyway, I grew up with that kind of a bit of history, and I never thought I could run anything specifically. And I'd never do something, because actually I would say, yes, I'm going to run a marathon. Let me just say, for example, and I'd said that many times over the years, but I never actually did it, because if I didn't do it, I wouldn't fail. Does that kind of sound a bit, you know? So with this, I actually achieved it. And sometimes I look on the outside looking in and think, hold on a minute, is that really me that did that? And yeah, my body's changed. I never did it for that. I did it for me and for my head. And it's changed.
Well, we do have to say that you're half the size that you were when you were on the programme before, which I know is just not Canicross and running, but obviously that has really helped. They've been an amazing part of it. But what's more amazing is that you've gone from being somebody that would not run and watch other people running to, you know, running. And how many times a week now are you running, do you think, or canicrossing with Ted?
I canicross with Ted literally probably about 3 times a week. I have a fantastic group of friends who I've made brand new friends in the canicross. And by the way, thank you for noticing. that has not been a deliberate thing. That has happened through the canicross. That's a whole new approach of life. It really has. But yeah, I've met new people that I wouldn't have met before. And I think that's one of the lovely things about sports. When you're going out and you find somebody that everybody has a passion about, about. You meet people and nobody judges you on whatever level what you do or what you come from or all the background. It's about you, the dogs, running, getting out, meeting new friends and new experiences, really. And that's ongoing. That's ongoing for me. So that's been amazing.
I do agree. It's that no pressure, social, get out and have fun. No one's judging you. Mm. And everyone, when you're running with Canicross friends, you know, everyone waits for each other. And yeah, it's very, like you said, it's very social. So obviously that's the people side, but obviously the dog side is very important too, because not only do you build that special bond between you and your dog, you know, there's so much more for the dog as well, going out and socialising with and being amongst other dogs. It's really good for their confidence as well. But yeah, I guess, you know, we often say, don't we, Janetta, that, you know, with new customers, we say, even if you're a bit phased about running at this stage, you know, even if you canny trek, which is hands-free walking with all the equipment, that's a really good start. And you can still use the commands and exercise together, you know, and that builds that special bond. So, I mean, if you look back to sort of when we last spoke, sort of 18 months ago or so, how would you say your relationship is now with Ted?
It's really very good and very strong. He is my dog. I mean, my husband obviously is there, but he is my dog. Just kind of laying it out there. And, you know, he's really, I mean, I have worked quite hard on his commands and he's very good on his recall. But what, you know, you touched on about the social aspect of dogs is, you know, we run in a group and there are a couple of dogs that are a little bit reactive, but they let us know. And when they're in a pack, we are mindful of anything if they are, but it doesn't stop you doing that. So if there is anybody who's got a reactive dog, don't let that put you off, because, you know, there's almost this kind of approach with a pack, and you can, as long as you let people know that, you know, your dog's a bit reactive, people can hold back. But with Ted, my relationship with him is really good. He, you know, if I let him free run when I'm running occasionally, which we do, so not always hooked up, he can free run. If he's going off, he will come back on a command, which is brilliant, because I always make sure that he knows who's in command and who's not, and it works. But, you know, a dog's a dog. If he gets a squirrel, they're off, you know. But one of the things I did want to say,
not if he literally gets a squirrel.
No. Do you know, I've got to tell you now, Ted fails epically at any of that. But when he sees a squirrel, just thinks, you know, and you swear to goodness, those squirrels are looking down a tree, looking down at Ted, going, "Yeah, missed it, mate." He's like looking there as if to say, "Yeah." But that's quite funny. But, and you know, that's lovely, seeing dogs in their natural instincts. It makes you really happy.
I mean, the best thing to do is time it tactically as you're going up a hill. That's the perfect. I've even tried that. I've even shouted out squirrel, rabbit, cat, just to get them to.
I know. And he's a great puller, Ted. I mean, he really is, and he will take me up that hill, and he's amazing. But one of the things I did want to say, you know, when you first start running, I used to run about the first or 5 minutes and I thought, I am gonna die. Because I just couldn't breathe, and I just can't do this. When you're canny crossing, you don't even register with that, because you're so focused on your dog that when you start to run, you know, you're looking at the dog and you're following where you're going, and you don't realise that you've been running for at least 20 minutes, 30 minutes or whatever, and you think, oh my gosh, I didn't even notice that I've been out of breath. And I think that's the difference. And it's a different, you know, sometimes it will be a bit faster, sometimes it will be slower. You're in a social group and you'll let the dog free run occasionally. And it's amazing how much you suddenly realise you're building up your fitness and you didn't even know it.
Yeah. And what's amazing is that obviously when we did our podcast first one, I think if we'd said at that time, you will end up running the London Marathon as a result of your running training and your canny cross, I don't think you would have believed us. I mean, that's been phenomenal. So just tell us how you've kind of incorporated Ted into some of that kind of running training programs. I mean, obviously he didn't run the marathon with you, and obviously he wasn't doing the road training part with you. But how did he help you in the other parts of the training?
Well, if there were, I mean, because you have to put a lot of time in to run the marathon or do anything like that. And, you know, how could me telling you how you'd be doing that? And that, I think, was the hard thing. It's time on your feet and it's getting out. And there will be times when I wouldn't want to do it, so I'd hook up Ted, because that, the whole psychological inspiration, because he doesn't care how you feel, he would just say, great, we're going, and he will run, and you'll just run. And I fortunately do live in an area where there's lots of soft ground with him, because I don't run on the pavements with him. Of course you can't, and it's not right for the dog. So I would take him off into the forest and run on soft ground with him, which is great. So I did use him quite a lot on the days that I just thought, oh my God, I've got to do 20 miles today. I didn't take out for 20 miles, I might add. I would take him out for a bit and then bring him back, hook him off and then carry on. But that just got me through that psychologically to think, okay, I can do this. And I still, to this day, cannot believe I've done it. You know, it's, yeah, I still it's can't fantastic. Believe I've done yeah. that.
Are you going to do another one?
Well, okay, so I did sign up. I have signed up. I did run for a charity, which was, so I'll tell you a quick funny story on that. I ran for a charity, which was the Antibiotic Research Charity, which were amazing. And I had to be interviewed on the phone to do it. Now, I have never done anything like this. And the woman who signed me up said, I'd like to meet you for a cup of coffee. And I went, oh, that's lovely. And I said to my husband, gosh, the charity wants to meet me for coffee. And I remember my husband saying, that's really odd. These charities don't pull out people for coffee, do they? So I actually went and met this woman for coffee locally where I live. And lovely. And I really liked the whole concept because we've got a bit of a medical background with what my family do. So it was the whole research and antibiotics. And it wasn't until I was sitting there having a coffee with her. And I said, so it's just dawned on me. You're only one. She went, yes. So I was the only person running for the charity. So to be honest with you, that was such a shock. And I thought, I cannot not do this now. But Ted was really into getting me going on.
And how much did you raise for them? I know you were really successful.
We did. I think I think it was about 1,500 they wanted you to raise as a total. And I think I got nearly over 3,000. So that was brilliant. Amazing. And really lovely people sponsoring me. It was great.
Yeah, that's really amazing. But going back to Ted and Canicross, and we've touched on it at the beginning that you obviously did the Gower half marathon yes. with him, and I know that that was in November, so it wasn't probably the greatest weather at the time either. So you obviously built up your training with him week by week. Obviously didn't go out and run that 13 miles. I know you went, you were building up, but just tell us a little bit about that event, sort of turning up with Ted, what happened and how you found it.
Okay, well, I think, you know, Ted's, he's my runner, he's my running partner. And so when I found the Gower, and we were going to do the Gower, it's turning up with Ted. One is you've got like your best friend with you. So that kind of makes you less nervous, because we had to get on a coach with him to go to the starting point. Now, Ted has never been on a coach. And he was probably the only dog that was on the coach. So, of course, because there were lots of just free runners and then Ted. So he came and, of course, he got loads of attention. And he sat there looking around, really unsure. And it was a bit of a journey. And we got to the other end there, and we all piled out and it was freezing. I'm not joking. It was freezing. So and as you started to run, he was really good. And he went along, because I wasn't sure how it was going to be, actually, because there wasn't all dogs. But he started to go along, and the very first thing we hit was this horrendous hill. And there is a picture of me actually sort of beside Ted and looking at this hill, and you couldn't believe the height of it. And then, of course, then the weather was in and the rain and the mud. And he just kept going. I mean, this, you know, dogs, just their tails are up and they're wagging, and it can be like the worst. But the views were stunning, and, you know, we were covered in mud from top to toe, and I did have to hook him off on a lot on the runs down, because otherwise I would have been tobogganing down with him. But you know, he pulls you along, you know, you call him back and he came back, but he keeps your spirits up. And I think that's the thing, you don't realize what you're doing because you're focusing on the dog. And it was great.
And how did you feel at the end going over that finish line?
Oh my god, well, in fact, we know when you see the finish line, it was along the beach. So you run in mud and then you're running along the beach. I mean, have you ever tried to run in sand? I mean, that's just not normal. And you're running along in the sand and you're seeing the flags waving, and you know, my family were there and everything else, and you know, people cheering Ted on. They forgot that I was attached, and because some of the runners had passed Ted and they knew his name was Ted, and they were cheering him on. So he thought he'd obviously won the marathon, you know, obviously. But it was a great feeling, and just getting across, it was marvellous. It was absolutely marvellous.
So, Carolyn, obviously Ted's quite a strong boy, isn't he? So there will be people listening to this who have got large dogs, and maybe, or even just really strong dogs, whatever their size, and might be a bit put off or a bit anxious about doing Canicross, you know, for fear that the dog's going to pull them over or go too fast for them. So what would you say to those people to reassure them?
Yeah, I really get that, because Ted is a really strong dog, and he pulls really, really fast, like a train. He's never pulled me over, I might add. And I think when I first ran with him, and I might have mentioned on the podcast before, the first time that I ran, I couldn't stop laughing hysterically when my husband was in front and Ted was trying to chase my husband to get going. And I said, I felt like one of those wound up toys. My legs were going like, trying to catch up with him. And, you know, but I had to really understand how to control. That's what I was saying earlier on about controlling and saying with me when it was getting too much. But I think the real key thing for me is obviously the harness that I wear, which is one of your guys' harnesses, because it sits quite low on the hips and behind in support. So I feel incredibly supported by it. I don't feel fearful that it's just going to pull me at the waist or pull me at a wrong angle. It's really long, so it's quite low in the centre of gravity, really. So, you know, if there's a time when he's being quite firm, I will pull back and just bend my knees slightly to have that bit more control. And that works really well. And I run with him on a short bungee, mm-hmm. Not a long one, so I've got more control over him. He could probably run a long one, but I just feel for myself, mm-hmm. having that shorter one is able for me to give that control and feel really supportive. So he has never pulled me over. He's made me run faster, that's for sure. But he hasn't. I've not had any incidents where I've actually thought, oh my goodness. In fact, if anything, I'm probably one of the worst, because if I'm out running and I see somebody else and they're running with a dog by holding them on the lead, I really feel like, I just need to show you, this is what you need. Yeah. Yeah. So, and you know, and I've done the park run with Ted a few times, well, actually quite a few times. And yeah, and a few people come over and say, what do you run in? Because they can see that I'm really quite comfortable with it, and it works so well.
Yeah, I mean, that's really key, isn't it? Having the right kit. And even if you're just going out walking hands-free, are you still using the kit then?
Yeah, sometimes I'll use that. If Ted's... if I want a bit more stability or whatever the case may be, and I will then obviously have him on that and just walk, because you can do that too. That's the thing that people don't realise, that when, you know, particularly as you get older, and maybe if you can't hold the lead quite strong, because I, you know, Ted's strong and I've had him just on the lead and collar. And again, if he sees a squirrel, Ted will pull me so firmly that occasionally he's pulled and hurt my arm, because you're kind of trying to hold back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it's a case of you're somebody like that, I would say definitely get a harness just for walking, because they're just as comfortable, and you've got that support, you know, and you can hold in. You know what I also love about your harnesses, guys, which I will tell you, is, you know, you've got the knots on there that you can hold the lead shorter, so that you've got more control. You know, you're holding into the handles and you've got the handle, you can slip your hands in as well and hold on it. That's great.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, even my dogs, I like the fact on our lines we have the handle at the bottom as well, because I'm crossing the road. You know, I've got a firm control, and the dog's close to me.
Yeah.
Makes all the difference. And, you know, you were saying about all the things you've incorporated with Ted to manage his strength and to work to your pace more, apart from when he's chasing a squirrel. I think commands is a big thing as well, isn't it? Because if you use those right commands, and they get... I've got to the stage with my dogs, they're often... You can tell when they get to a junction, they're waiting for me to tell them which way to go, rather than just assuming and going for it.
Yeah.
And that definitely makes a difference, doesn't it?
It really does, because, you know, they're dogs. Dogs don't speak human. Dogs are dogs, so they will be sometimes unpredictable. But the fact if you've got some good, strong commands, you know you've got that slight upper hand. Don't ever think they're not going to do something you don't predict, because they're perfect, because they are dogs. Mm. But he's really good on the commands, and particularly with the running, as I said, like the with me, telling you to go right or left. You know, in advance, you know, sometimes we go right instead of left, but you know, but when they're following a pack, they go as a group. But you know, I run now with him on my own. I'll go out on my own with Ted and Canny Cross on my own. So when I did it the first time, he wasn't great, because he would be beside me bouncing up trying to eat the line. But with the group, that's taught him. He knows what he's going to do. He knows what he's doing, and he just ploughs on. It's great.
Yeah, and I think that that's one of the key things, isn't it? As you said, when you started out, he was bouncing up and down. He was a young dog. He was jumping up the lead. It was suddenly he didn't really understand what was happening. But I guess through, you know, running with a group and having those lessons to start with, I mean, it's a form of dog training. So now he knows when you put the harness on what you two are going to do. And as you said, running on your own with him is one of the greatest tests. So, yeah. I mean, what would you say, you know... What's the best thing about Canny Cross? What's it brought you?
You know, the best thing for me about Canny Crossing is, you know, as a person, it's my health. You know, I am 60 this year, and I just, you know, I want to be that really fit, healthy woman as long as I possibly can, because, you know, life carries on and we all get older and ailments. And, you know, I really wanted to feel better in myself, but also in my head as well. And we know we've had a couple of years of an interesting time as the whole world, and health-wise, and you know, your mental health and things. And there is nothing better than getting out there, getting the fresh air, and running. Now, believe me, I'm not, you know, I'm not some sort of guru or whatever. It's just worked so well for me. And I think, you know, getting You have to walk your dog, okay? The bottom line is you have to walk your dog. And that is exactly, that's the end of it. We bought a dog that we wanted to get out and walk. So what's anything better than to put a harness on him and run, or even walk, you know, run. Because one is your dog's getting the exercise he has to have, and you're getting the exercise and, you know, the health that actually, you know, you need to have really to keep as fit as, you know, as you possibly can. And I think that's really key, you know, that's really, really key. So it's not onerous. Don't overthink it. Just do it.
Yeah. I think you said about mental health. I think the endorphins that you get off doing Canicross, I mean, it's, you get that anyway just going out on your own, but with a group of friends, you know, you quadruple that and more, because like you say, it's not just about getting out and getting fit. It's good for your health. It's good mentally and socially, and it's good for the dog. I mean, there's so many benefits, aren't there?
There are. And you're right. Actually getting out with... I've met so many lovely new people that would never have crossed my path. Never have crossed my path. Mind you, I have run a few times without Ted, because I think one time he wasn't 100%. So I just still went along to the group and ran and didn't have him with me. I was the last person behind, I might add. whereas I'm always normally at the front. But you're right, it's meeting amazing people and the endorphins and having coffee afterwards and laughing and, yeah, what's better?
So looking back at where you were when you first started Canicross versus where you are now, what would you tell your younger, less confident self who was just starting out?
Oh, do you know, again, that's a really good question. I wish I could. There's so many things I'd tell myself, tell myself to do, which I worried about then. Do you know, I said earlier on, just don't overthink it and don't think, oh, I can't possibly do that. I'm not fit enough to do it, because I wasn't. I am fitter now. Of course I am. But you know what? You can, you know, when you go out in a group, in a Canicross group, you can work to your level at the time, and, you know, maybe walk a bit with the dog on the lead, on the Canicross leads, but, you know, and then start building up slowly. But don't overthink it, because that stops you doing anything. You know, like I said earlier on, I didn't do things because if I didn't do it, then I didn't fail. And that's just crazy, because, you know, it opens up a whole new you. And I think, you know, just do it and don't overthink it.
That's good advice.
Oh, it's been absolutely brilliant having you on the show, and you are truly an inspiration to people that might be listening to this and thinking, you know, they're nervous about Canicross and giving it a start. I mean, you've just done an amazing journey. So what's next for you and Ted?
Oh my gosh. So we've done the half gower, which is great. And we've done a few 5Ks and 10Ks and things like that. I really, really wouldn't mind doing some of the events where that you can Canicross, but you've obviously got obstacle courses to go through, and I can't think of the names of them at the moment, but I know they keep popping up on my Facebook page. But there's one where the dogs go through water and you're with them and you go through, I just think like an assault course.
Yeah,
an army assault course, but with your dog. So I really would like to do that, and you definitely do more half marathons with him, because, you know, that one is great, you're running that length of time, and it's great with him, and who knows, maybe our just gonna rattle away. Get some more bling.
Some more bling.
Oh, thank you so much, Carolyn. It's been such a pleasure to chat with you again and hear how much you and Ted are enjoying your Canicross adventures. It's really inspirational. For anyone listening, just to finish off, have you got any help and advice for them?
Yeah, I certainly have. I mean, you know, I've been doing this a while now, and obviously I'm a big fan and I love DogFit because you guys introduced me to it. And also, it's not just that, you actually made sure I had the right kit. And I've really noticed the difference in that, because I don't suffer from any injuries and things like that because it's supported correctly. And, you know, your YouTube channel that you have, it's, you know, there's a couple of things when I, particularly earlier on, and I would go back and watch about certain commands and things that you've guided and said. And that's been really valuable, because I do pop on that now and again, just to think, oh gosh, I can't remember what you said, and then able to do it. So yeah, definitely do that.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Carolyn.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Canicross. We really hope that you've enjoyed it. But don't forget to hit subscribe so we can keep you up to date and let you know when the next episode comes out. Happy Canicrossing.